Good morning, Tulsa Soul Winning Workshop. God bless you. How many of you have already been blessed by the fellowship and time that you've spent here this weekend? Praise God. Praise God for that. The Tulsa Soul Winning Workshop, somebody asked me, how many times have you spoken at this workshop? And I thought, wow, that's really a frightening question. I think it's something like for the last 30 years or so. I first spoke here when I was 11 years old. And have enjoyed being here. It's a family reunion. We're so grateful for those here in Tulsa who work so hard each year to make this happen. I hope you will share with, that's appropriate too. I hope you'll share with those who are back home saying, man, this is a great experience. It's also a humbling experience. It always is. I was walking in here and somebody walked up to me and said, hey, Jeff, do you have some of your, DVDs and such here? And I said, well, yeah, as a matter of fact, they're over at the OCU. He said, I don't care where they are. I just wonder if you had them. And I said, oh, you don't want any? He said, no, not really. And then just turned and walked away. And I thought, okay, thank you, Lord. That's a good reminder. I did have somebody ask me that question, seriously. And so if you put that first slide up, there are two brand new things I'm excited about. If you're looking for materials for your church, I'll get this out of the way. A couple of years ago, I did some material on the Beatitudes and had some people challenge me, said, man, that is just so helpful. And so worked, and the good news was worked with some folks actually at our church and produced this. So for, I think it's over there for $10 at the table, you can get an 8-week video course on relationships through the Beatitudes. So if you're looking for that material, that's over there. And then the second thing, the next slide is a series called I'm So Sure. I don't know about you, but I have found more and more of our college and high school students being challenged about what they believe. And in a world that has so little room, it seems, for being sure about God, this is a series focused on that. And I'll be doing some of the material from that this afternoon, I think, in here at 4 o'clock. It's been encouraging and helpful to me. So both of those are over. It's at the OCU booth, whichever number that is. I don't know. Okay, good. Have you ever so misread a situation that you put your foot in your mouth? Have you ever made the mistake of asking a woman, well, now, when are you due? And then realized, oh, no. A friend, a Christian surgeon, tells the story of leaning over a man just before he's just beginning to have the anesthesia take effect, and the man reaches up before the surgery begins and says to the doctor, I'm a believer. And he heard, I'm a believer. And he said, excuse me, he said, I'm a believer. He said, I'd never had anyone at a moment of surgery tell me I'm a believer. And he just launched into this wonderful moment of saying, I am too. I want you to know that I'm a believer as well. And as a Christian, I've been praying about this surgery. And we both know that God's hand. And he went ahead and he said, I've never done this. And offered a prayer right there. And the nurses are looking at him. They knew he's a Christian. But right in surgery, offers this prayer before he goes on. And finally, a hand taps his and he looks up at his anesthesiologist who is saying, he said, I'm a bleeder. The chart says he's a hemophiliac and he wanted us to make sure we've got... And the doctor looked around at the nurses who just kind of went down like this. My favorite, though, is the preacher who was walking along and saw the little boy who was trying to reach up and he couldn't quite get the doorknob. And so the preacher just walked up on the porch and said, son, do you need some help? And the little boy said, oh, yes, sir. And so the preacher reached down and lifted him up those 2 little inches so, bing, he could ring that doorbell and sat him back down. He said, that's great. What do we do now? And the little boy said, now we run. And he took off. I'm afraid I have been guilty of misreading Scripture, at least one particular one, in a major way. I took a sabbatical last year. My elders were gracious enough after 13 years to give me a few weeks just to kind of, well, I can't help but mention Japan. And by the way, may God bless our brothers and sisters in Japan and those who are struggling there, and maybe a moment for Jesus to swoop in, praise God, with help and hope. I don't know if you know the Ibaraki Christian College lost power. That's the college right there just outside of Tokyo. Yuki Obata, a friend of mine who ministers at the Mito Church, was actually here in the States doing some training in California. They've gotten the power back there, but are realizing in a nation in which less than 1% of the country believes in Jesus at all. Think about that. Less than 1%. that this is an opportunity to step in and be Jesus. So I do hope you are finding ways to help. There are many, many different organizations that are sending funds over there, but pray that God will open the door for a nation that desperately needs Jesus to hear about Him. Can I get an amen on that? All right. I was in Japan a couple of years ago and was doing some speaking for the Mito Church and some traveling with my son, and they said, oh, you've got to go to one of the baths with us. Now, you know, kind of jacuzzi, only it's much, much more complex than a jacuzzi. And so we went, and it was, of course, you know, the men were over in one section, the women over in another. And so we went into this section where all these fellas, you actually wash off before you get in the water, which I thought was interesting. So you wash off, and then there's all kinds of different pools. Pools of different temperature. Pools with running water. Pools with turbulent water. Pools with still water. Pools with water that is so hot you could make soup, literally, I think, in them. And there were people sitting in all of these. So Riley and I began to pick a spot and get in. Of course, we're two Americans, right? So we sit down, and after about 10 seconds, we went, what do you do now? And we asked our Japanese guests, our hosts rather, what do you do? And he said, you sit. All right. This is nice. Sonny, how long do you sit? He says, well, I normally do about a half hour. Half hour. No one's talking. You ever sat and tried not to talk for half an hour? Some of you are saying, I wish my husband would. Have you ever just tried? So, of course, I had to move from place to place. And finally, they were saying, Brother Jeff, you need to just soak. It's good for you. It's hard for me to soak. And it's hard for me to do it in Scripture, too. Daily Bible reading programs I love. You know, where we're going to read through the New Testament. We're going to read through the Old Testament. So we read through. But you know what I have not done? I have not soaked as much as I need to. There's a biblical word. It's called meditation. David says, I will meditate on your word day and night. And he's talking about the law. Try soaking in Leviticus. That'll give you bumps, right? And so our congregation was challenged by this notion. And so we spent 40 days reading Scripture, but we read the same Scripture every day for 40 days. May I show you where it is? Open your Bibles to Luke 15. Beginning in verse 11, where Jesus says, there was a man who had, anybody know? Two sons. We soaked in that Scripture. I had done this prior and had found that I had misread this parable so powerfully that I felt the need to repent and share it with you today. For the next few minutes, I would like you and I to sit and soak in just a few verses of Jesus' words that I believe pull back the curtain on the very nature of God. I want to begin by just reading it. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and squandered his wealth in wild living. And after he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country. And he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said to himself, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go to my father's house and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still, help me, a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Well, the son said to his father, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Oh, your brother's come home, he replied, and your father's killed a fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, well, you kill a fatted calf for him. My son, the father said, you're always with me. Everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Can I get an amen? Let's pray. Lord, as we walk through this simple story, as we seek to plumb its depths, Father, will you make us wise? Will you open our eyes? And will you guide our hearts that we might not simply see this family, but that we might see ourselves? I pray this in Christ Jesus' holy name, and all that agree say, amen. Can anyone tell me the name of the story that I just read? Parable of the what? Prodigal son or lost son, depending on how your Bible writes it. The first thing you need to know about this story is that those words are not in Scripture. The Scripture never calls it the parable of the lost son and never calls it the parable of the prodigal son. We have named it that because of the focus that we brought to this story. Show you two quick things. First off, go to the beginning of that chapter, if you would. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." And then Jesus begins to tell them parables. The parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, at least that's what we call them. And then the parable of the lost son. Let's say the lost sons would be closer. Brothers and sisters, the Church of Jesus Christ on the face of this earth, I believe, needs to sit and soak in what Jesus wants us to get from this parable. Because it brings me back to the heart of the Lord. Remember that the Scriptures said when Jesus prayed, Father, the time has come, in John 17, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you, for you granted him authority over all men, that he might give eternal life to those that you've given to him. Now, this is eternal life. I think this may be that first Scripture slide, Tracy, if you've got it. Now, this is eternal life, that they may, what? Know you. Can you say that with me? That they may. First thing I want you to note about this parable is I believe its purpose is to show us the heart of God. Its purpose is to pull back the curtain and let me see who God is. The second thing I want you to notice about this parable is that the way the chapter begins, and admittedly chapter marks weren't there either, but I believe it's fair to say the way the pericope, the teaching section begins, is a parallel to the way the parable begins. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear him, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered. Now listen to the first line of this parable. There was a man who had... Everybody put up two fingers. How many sons do you have? How many sons have we focused on typically? Yeah, put up those two fingers again. If you don't remember anything else, every time somebody reads this parable, I want you to hear these words. Say it with me. There was a man who had... Why is it so important? He frames the whole story there. There's a father and he has two sons. And I believe every single one of us sit in the chair of one of those boys. We have a natural predilection to be one or the other. I have focused for so long on the first son that it took me a while. In fact, I've seen videos and stories done in VBS of the prodigal story where it finishes with the celebration. And you never get to the second son. That's doing disservice to what Jesus, I believe, wants us to see. There are two sons, both of them trying to control the world in their own way. One chooses to give in to the desires that rage within him. Let me first have the prodigal. By the way, we don't have two brothers in here, do we? And now you're saying, I wouldn't volunteer even if I did. Do we have two brothers in the auditorium right now that would fess up to being brothers? Oh, look, everybody's pointing. Who you got? Have you got two? Would you guys help me out? Because they'll never forget this, and I know you never will. So come here just for a second. Yeah, give them a hand, would you? Come here, guys. And if you would, hustle right up here. I want you to see it, because if you see it, it might help us to click. Both of the boys had found ways they thought would bring them fulfillment and joy. What were the ways they thought they'd bring them fulfillment and joy? Hi, my name's Jeff. What's yours?
Landon
and Logan. I'm guessing he's the younger. Oh, sorry, bud. Come right over here if you would. Logan here is going to represent for me the prodigal son. The first prodigal. The young prodigal. And Landon over here is going to represent the older prodigal. You say, wait a minute, are they both prodigal? This is the part that's just going to crack your taco. What Jesus describes are two boys trying to control their dad, thank God, trying to control their world in different ways. So let's start with how Logan tries to control the world. Logan is seeking happiness. He is seeking life. He is seeking fulfillment. And so what Logan does is he says, I'm going to take off everything that is restricting me. You got a t-shirt on, don't you, bud? Good. Do you mind pulling your shirt off for me? Leave the t-shirt on, because this is being videotaped, but go ahead. Mom is praying it's clean right now. Good deal, Logan. Thank you very much. Here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to take that t-shirt, pardon me, a shirt, grab it by the end of it, and I want you just to swing it above your head, all right? This is exactly what the prodigal... Well, you got to look a little more excited than that. I mean, really, you know, like your team is winning there. This is what the prodigal does. He said, you can't make me wear this shirt. You can't make me be dressed up. You can't make me do this. I'm going to go do my own thing. Anybody here feel like this sounds familiar to you at all? I am going to live large. I'm going to give in to all the desires. I'm going to go back. You're getting tired, aren't you? I'm going to go back to the garden, in the garden where Eve said, "Woo, look at that fruit." And Satan says, "Man, that's good fruit." And God said, "Don't touch that fruit." And Eve said, "Oh, man, I just want that fruit." And God, please don't do that. Satan says, "Come on, come on." And we chose the created over the creator. And the prodigal begins his journey, the young prodigal begins his journey by saying, I know if I just had this, I would be happy. Do your parents have rules at your house, Luke? Yeah. Could you name a couple of them if you don't mind? Do you have a bedtime? What's your bedtime? Pardon me?
10.
10? You can't even step to 11? Man, that must chap the fire out of you. Yeah. Why do you think they do that? Because they're parents. That's a really good answer. Logan, I am so totally with you. Because I think if you stayed up to 10:30, 10:45, probably wouldn't make much difference to you. I don't think so either. But they ain't going to listen to us, are they? No. Because they're parents. Seeing their thing is to keep you from having very much fun. That's their goal in life. It's in the parent training book. In fact, you watch. Next time you're doing something, you're having fun, they'll be saying, now knock that off. You go to bed. What do you think it'd be like if you just stay up as late? You ever done that? They ever just let you stay up as late as you wanted to? Like an all-night video party or, you know, just watch movies till late at night? You're looking at your mom, aren't you, right now? Come in, camera. Focus in here. I want you to be able to see. Go ahead and just focus on us, too, if the camera guy can. Maybe he can't. You can zoom in here, because this young man's face is telling the story. Now, Logan, I want you to listen to me carefully.
There will come a day when you can stay up totally as late as you want to. You can eat whatever you want to. You can play any video games you want to play and go anywhere you want to go. Tell me how that sounds. Awesome. It does, doesn't it? Woo-hoo-wee! Isn't that going to be a good deal? I mean, just think about it. Logan's place, right? And Logan makes the rules, right? Give me five, man. That's going to be a good deal. This is the heart of all of us. We desperately desire to say, I know what's best for me, and I think I'm in charge. Can everybody say that with me? I know what's... And I think... Exactly. And God says, oh, honey. Oh, sir. Don't you trust me? Not only, Logan, did the boy say to his dad, I'm done with your rules. The boy said to his dad, I wish you were dead. You realize that's what he said. The next sentence in this, look at the next sentence in the story. Come back over here, Logan. Stick with me here. Look at the next sentence in the story. It says, the younger son said to his father, Father, can you read that real loud? Father, yeah, give me. Mm-hmm.
Give me my...
No. I mean, give me like, give me! Here we go. Father?
Give me my...
No, come on now. Make them hear you. Grandma in the back with a hearing aid. Make her really hear it. Father?
Give me my...
No, look back there and holler, give me, as loud as you can. One, two, three.
Give me.
Oh, come on. One, two, three.
Give me.
There you go. Help him out. One, two, three.
Give me.
That is the spirit that is within all of us that is the young prodigal spirit. It is gimme, and by the way, when do we want it? And so we say, God, give it to me now. And the prodigal says to the father, I want it now, which in his society was saying, I'm not waiting around for you to die. I want it now. I want to treat you like you're dead, old man. The depth of hurt, the depth of disrespect that this moment had in the story, I had never fully grasped. I'm riding along in the car, and one of my sons sitting in the back seat, the youngest one, is talking with his brother. It's one of those arguments. And finally I said, what's going on? Nothing. What is it? We were just having a disagreement. Over what? Well, if you died, who'd get this car? What? The older one said, never mind, Dad, it's nothing. No, it's not nothing. And what do you think welled up inside of me? Goodwill will get this car before either of you two do. I'll donate it to the church before I let either one of you ungrateful little... This story opens with a slap to the face of the father. Now, if you don't get that, then you won't get what happens next. First off, this story is about two sons. I'll get to you. Don't look so smug over there. Actually, do look smug. That's right for you. This story is about two sons. The second thing this story is all about choices. But before you leap to the conclusion that it's about the choice of the young boy and the choice of the old boy, the first choice that it is about is this one. Not long so, he divided his property between them. You see that verse? Underline and circle, if you've got it in yours, the word so. That little word is huge. Now, I know you say in the Greek that's really not in the text. I understand what you're saying, but in the English, let me let you use this word as a marker. The son comes to him and says, I wish you were dead. Give me all my stuff. And the father looks at the boy. Dad, can you tell me honestly what would be in your heart if your son dared come to you and say, give me all your property. I want my inheritance right now. Every listener to that story went like this. When the boy said, give me my inheritance. And the next thing in the story should have been, look at me. Don't you look at me with that look. Now you listen to me. I tell you one thing. As long as you live in my house, you're going to obey my rules. And buddy, if you want to go and have your fun, you go and do it. But you're not taking one thin dime from me. Do you understand me? Can I hear a yes, sir?
Yes, sir.
Excuse me?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. That's the way the parable should have gone, right?
Any father or mother worth their salt would have said, there is no way I'm going to give a young punk like you a bunch of money, because if I do, what do you think he's going to do with it? Play video games, stay up all night long, and drink chocolate milk. That's exactly what he's going to do with it. He's going to drive too fast. He's going to hang out with the wrong people. He's not going to do his homework. He's not going to... Don't you smile. You wipe that smile off your face. And that's why he needs me to control him. So from now on out, let me not only tell you what I not give him his inheritance, I take away his allowance. Can I get a, oh yeah? And I'd say, tell you what, you're going to stick right with me. I'm going to school with you. You're not going to get away from me, because obviously you are an idiot that I have raised. You're off your mama's side of the tree. You are an idiot that I've raised. Guys, do you realize we're so used to reading this parable, we don't get this parable is a ridiculous shock. Because the father chooses not only to give the boy freedom, but to finance his falderall. Is everybody with me on this? Do you know why he comes and says, I want my inheritance? Because he doesn't have two dimes to rub together. And so he can't even get a bus ride out of town. How much money you got on you? $25. Where'd you get it? Your mama, uh-huh. Let me tell you something, Mr. Prodigal young man. How long do you think that $25 is going to last you out there? The prodigal could only run away by his father financing it. Now let this one hit you right between the eyes. And God said, okay. You say, wait a minute. That's the father in the story. Go back to the Garden of Eden. Go back to mankind. The first choice that the father made was to give you choice. That's why so many of us hurt so much. Can I get a, oh yeah? You want to take away pain? Take away free will. Man, that cut the pain way down. What if there was a little chip that you could implant in a human being that would mean they would totally obey you in everything? In everything. There are husbands and wives drooling out there at this moment. Man, if there's an app like that, I'm downloading that, baby, I'll tell you. Married folk, would you do it? Would you use it? Parents, would you use it? Man, in a New York minute, I'd plug that thing in and never have to worry when the door was shut. Is Logan really doing his homework, or is he really playing that Game Boy in there? Is he really working in the backyard, or is he laying out there in the grass? Now I'll tell you what I believe deep down in my soul, that if you put that there, you have given up the ability to receive any love from this young man. Because love is predicated on choice. Are you with me on this? God is love. The greatest gift he's ever given to man is the gift of love. The story of the prodigal son shows me that the reason God gives us choice and gives us opportunity is so that we can experience his love. Because without freedom of choice, you can't love anything or anyone. It's called slavery. Is everybody with me? It's called slavery. I know some are clapping thinking, I think that's good, but I'm not sure. Hang on just a sec. It is our freedom of will that brought pain and sin into the world. It is also our freedom to choose that allows us to know Jesus and the love of God, that allows us to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourself. This is a story about freedom. Choice. God chose to give it to the boy, and the boy chose, go back here and pull up a seat, take off to a far country. The boy chose to take off. He thinks when he gets back there, he's going to find fun, right? He ain't. Who's going to pay for that apartment he's got? Ain't going to do it with any $25 he got from his mama, is he? Yeah, but I got a pile of money. And how quickly will that pile go down? Remember those you had 401ks, now they're 301 and 201ks, you know what I'm talking about? So the boy takes off. Shock that the father would do that. The boy takes off. And when he's away, we all know what happened, don't we? Pain. Mark down number 3. This is a story about pain. You understand a prodigal son? Follow the pain. Let's start with the father's pain. That this father is totally disrespected by this boy. Let's move to the young son's pain. That he takes off. Oh, by the way, there's just, you know, you read this story every day for 40 days and stuff's going to jump out you never saw. Let me show you a verse I never saw. The scripture says in verse 13, verse 12 says he divided his property between them. Verse 13 says, not long after that. Not long after that. What that means is that boy didn't go immediately. Couple of possibilities. One, the father may have actually had to sell some land to get the boy his money. The second thing is that the boy is preparing to go. Think about the dinner table as the boy is sitting there talking about what he's going to do. And who do you think was sitting across the dinner table eyeballing him? Let me tell you, this one right here. He doesn't show up in the story to the end, but the scripture says not long after that, there was some period of time where the boy was chafing and saying, I'm going to get my money together and I'm going to leave. And the father is sitting there looking at him thinking, son, don't you trust me? Son, don't you believe in me? Son, don't you think I want your best? And what do you think this guy was thinking? First thing he's thinking, he is such a jerk. Can I get an amen? Yes, sir. First off, he's a jerk because he's my younger brother. But second, the older boy is looking at the younger boy and then looking at the father and then looking at himself. Younger boy is saying, first, I'm going to go to Vegas. And then I'm going to go to Disneyland. And then I think I might go down to Mexico. And you know, I've always heard that the Caribbean is quite cool. And I got this pile of money. Daddy, how much did that property sell for? Woohoo! And here's the good boy sitting there. Happy, like all good boys are. Can I get an amen? He is sitting there thinking, now I got to be careful. Maybe he was thinking, oh, may God bless my younger brother. I do pray all the best for him. He's just a hurting and confused soul who doesn't understand the love of our gracious Father. Oh, and I long for the day when he will repent and return home, that we may celebrate together in that great return and celebration. Anybody out there buying that? No. In fact, let's let him, in his own words, tell us what this boy has been thinking. And here is his pain. That kid had pain. By the way, hang on just a second. That kid had pain, and his pain is what brought him back. And here's another word to underline. Down there where it says, no one gave him anything, in verse 16. Underline the word, no one gave him anything, and then right beside that, codependent, and then mark through it. The words no one gave him anything means that God allowed the boy to feel the pain so that he could come home. We live in a society that doesn't want to have anything to do with pain. I don't know about you. Advil is my friend. Worked out in the backyard the other day with Catherine, pulling up some weeds and doing some things. And man, you know, you think, oh, we'll get this done. Spent a couple hours out there, a couple of little small bushes that, I can yank these up. And I'm there and I'm pulling and I'm straining and I'm, she said, honey, you going to be all right? I'll be fine. You know, lift with your legs and pull. And, man, 2 hours later, okay, well, I got to run into the office. So I throw on my good clothes and get cleaned up. And I drive down the church building and I'm sitting there and, oh, boy, oh. Man, my back, land sakes. What do you think I did? Kathy, is that bottle of Advil in the other room? And I took me several of those. It's not illegal. Because here's what I've been taught all my life. Pain is not good. Is everybody with me on that? Now, how come we have those t-shirts that say, no pain, no... Because some people have learned pain is a necessary part of change. The only reason the prodigal comes home, I believe, the young prodigal, is because of pain. Brothers and sisters, one of the things soaking 40 days in this parable did was convict me that I have had a bad attitude towards pain. What kind of things do you try and do with pain? I think there's a list of maybe four of them back there, Tracy. The kind of things we do with pain, we either try and ignore it, you know, tough it out. Or we try to defeat it. I'll just beat this pain. Oh, we try and look past it. Oh, let's just sing some glad morning when this life is o'er. You know, we'll just look past it. And some people succumb to it, and that's where suicide takes place. May I offer you, next slide, a new way of dealing with it? Listen. What does pain tell you? Here's some messages pain tells you. Pain tells you, next slide, Trace. Pain tells you you're not God and you can't control life. Amen? Every time you get frustrated, every time you get irritated, every time you go, man, it frustrates me, pause and say, thank you, God, for reminding me I'm not you. Amen? In fact, go ahead and lean over the person next to you at the table and say, you aren't God, even when you act like it. Tell them, you're not God. Second, next one, Trace. Pain tells me there is a place of healing and my Father is waiting there. Pain drives me to the Lord. Amy Grant's old song, I Love a Rainy Night, because it drives me back to you. Brothers and sisters, we as churches need to embrace pain and listen for the voice of God. Somebody comes forward weeping and crying in one of our worship services and we're not really sure what to do. And first thing we want to do is give them Kleenexes and try and clean them up and say, okay, all right, well, listen, it's all going to be all right. It's all going to be all right. Just a moment, friend. How about we stop and say, hurts like the devil, doesn't it? That hurts. This is painful. Do you know why it hurts? Because this isn't heaven and we're not God. Amen. Every time I feel pain, it reminds me, I'm not home yet. I'm not home yet. Otherwise, I get to love this place, and I start loving this place more than I love my Father. Oh, goodness. We got to get over here. All right. So we get to the end. And the Father shocks us all. When that boy over there comes home, what would have been the appropriate way for the Father to have responded? When that young Liberty Gibbet comes home after spending all the money and here he is and all that money is gone. What should the Father have said? Will you look who's coming down the road? Well, looks like somebody finally got smart, didn't they? Didn't they, Landon? Looks like somebody finally got it together. Man, I wish you could be more like your brother. Isn't that right? Yes. Oh, I wish you could be more like him. Is that what the Father says? I apologize. This is the part where you get to interact. Is that where the Father says? No. In fact, what does the Father say? Come here. Come here. Get yourself over here. You big old lug. Bless your heart. I love you. I love you. Now, what is this guy doing? Doing exactly what he's doing right there. He is saying, no. Here's one for you. When the Father put the ring and the robe on the boy, guess what he did? He made him a son again. Unless I'm mistaken, you just lost another half of your inheritance. Because when Papa passes, doesn't it now go to both of you? Now, some would argue, no, it doesn't, because the Father actually says to him at the end of the story, everything I've got is yours. Because remember, he divided his estate between them, is what the text says. And even if you go with that, watch this one. Oh, my boy, bring him a robe. Whose robe is that he's about to get? That would be your robe, wouldn't it? Bring him a ring. Whose ring is that he's about? Yeah, that would be. Kill that fatted calf. Whose calf is that right over there about to die? This boy is filled with spit and vinegar right now and angry. He's frustrated and irritated. And what he would like to do to the punk, we cannot say up here. So the punk, put your shirt on. You got a new shirt. Put your shirt on. The punk gets all dressed up. And not only dressed up, Daddy says, LAN party. And they hook up six Xbox and you invite all your friends over. And he says, 10 o'clock tonight? No way, dude. We're staying up to midnight. Chocolate milk for all. Give me a high five. Yes. So this boy is party harding and this boy comes home. Woo. We got 3 minutes. Here we go. Real fast. Mark, you ready? Go to the end of the story, and I want you to underline the words of the older boy. This is something you and I need to take home and chew on, because the words of the older boy are so violent. First thing you need to know about the older boy is that when he refuses to go in, he is refusing his father's command. Come on, your son's here. And he says, I refuse to go in. The next thing that should have happened in the story, the next thing that ought to have happened in that culture was for the father to send a servant out and say, you will get your smug little hind in that house right now. Because when he told the servant he refused to go in, the servant had to walk into the party, woohoo, high five, and say, excuse me, sir, what? Landon's outside. Well, tell him, come in, Logan's home. He says, I did. Well, why won't he come in? He has refused to obey you. Everybody breathe in real fast. That's what everybody at the party did. And the father went, did you say he refused to come in? Yes, sir. And everybody's looking at the father. And they're waiting for him to send the servants out and you drag him in. Because this is the ultimate of disrespect.
But what does the Scripture say? The Father went out to him. Shouldn't that have broken this boy's heart? Look how heartbroken he is when he says this. The older brother became angry. Try right there with real anger, would you?
Look. Look, all these years I've been slaving for you.
Oh, goodness land sakes, Landon. All these years I've been slaving for you. Say that to me.
All these years I've been slaving for you.
Come on, give me a little chest point. Do it again. With your finger.
All these years I've been slaving.
No, no, go ahead and really give me a poke.
All these years I've been slaving for you.
This is the moment you need to get. Do it one more time now the camera's on you. Good and loud. And give it the look first.
All these
years. Say look first. Look all these years. Okay.
Look. All these years I've been slaving for you.
Now, do you see this picture? Does every dad in the room go, you better get your bad self back? Listen, I brought you in this world. I'll send you out and I can make another one just like you. You better not mess with me. Do you hear the vitriol and the anger flowing out of this boy? And here's the moment we've got to grab a hold of. The father has every right to banish this kid. Brothers and sisters, if this is how you've been going to church, thinking, look, I came on Sunday morning. I came on Wednesday night. I worked in VBS. I gave my 10%. Land sakes, I worked on the joy bus. I am definitely going to heaven. Why aren't I getting better treatment, God? Where's my party? That's what he wants to know. Where's my fatted calf? Where's my party? This bubbles up inside of so many of us because we think we've earned something, and that is a lie. Son, the father says, everything I have is yours. You don't have any righteousness except that which I've given you. Say amen. You don't have any goodness except that which I've given you. Say, oh yeah. Brothers and sisters, this is me. You want to know if it's you? Are you angry? Are you bitter? Are you judgmental about others? I used to have a piece of chalk, and I drew a circle around my little group, and I said, we're the only ones going to heaven. Remember that? We're the only ones going to heaven. And I judge everybody else. Guess what? God came to me and said, I said, okay, I'll draw a bigger circle. He said, no. Okay, I'll draw a large circle. He said, hand me the chalk. Can you give both these boys a big round of applause for me? Thanks, guys. I heard a song and we'll close with it. And then if you're interested over at the OCU booth, those videos and stuff, I'll be over there for a few minutes. I heard a song and I thought, this is it. This is the message of what our Father wants to say. I hope for the next 40 days you'll take this challenge. Read the parable every day. God will light it up for you. God bless you guys. Have a great day. Thanks.